I didn't even know anything was wrong. And she said, we have a young person that's leaving the church, and said, my preaching just doesn't really do anything for him. And said, we've got three, four sets of seniors that are going from their home to retirement center or trying to find other means to help them. And I said, it sounds like life is happening at your church. How many knows that's life? And I said, you know, so I prayed for her, and I said, God, for those leaders that are leaving, either restore them or send some new leaders or raise someone up in the congregation. And for the young man that's leaving, help him, Lord, to find something that will feed him or show him that this is the place where he needs to be. And bless the seniors that are having these transactions. How many knows the stress? It should be on the seniors, the one that's having to make this stressful transition into being totally free and living in freedom to now needing assistance and aid. And so, not on the pastor. That's life. Life happens. Life happens to us all. And remember what we talked about last week. Stress is a choice, isn't it? I've got some really good response from some of you already from last week, and that, you know, thank you for reminding me that stress is a choice, and it is a choice. So let's get into the Word today again, and I want to give you a couple extra things here that may help you in coping with stress. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And I want to read again the scripture in here because there's a few key things we want to look at today. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Pages turning. You got that? If you're there, say, got it. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I think that has a lot to do with stress, because if we're looking at the world system and the problems and not serving God and putting Him first, that's where our priorities are going to be. And like the songs that we're saying today about wrap your arms around me, about the skit that was done, about the things that pile up on top of us. And you know, it really matters where your focus is, if it's on the world system or God's system, because they're two different systems, isn't there? I mean, it's really two different things. So it says, verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, for what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? For you that were stressing out this morning to wear to church, you know, what to put on, and what you're going to eat today after lunch. You've already started stressing about that early. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Jesus said, take a look at the birds. I saw a bird the other day on the golf course that's showing some highlights of the sports events, and the guy hit the golf ball and it went onto the green. The big seagull went over and got the ball and took off flying and dropped it in the water. The announcer said, the seagull was probably thinking, how did my egg get over here? And it was hilarious. You know, I watched one yesterday. I forget where we were at. We pulled in the parking lot or somewhere, and I watched the bird hop over. And I don't know what he found, but he found something was in paper. And man, he dove down and got that thing and run over to the under a car and just started trying to unwrap it, you know. And I thought, look at the birds. You know, God even feeds them, and they're attentive to what God has given them as they fly and they soar, and they're sitting on the branch and they're singing their songs to God. They're looking for provisions, aren't they? They're looking for the goodness of God. And so we ought to be smart as a bird and get up and look for the goodness of God. We ought to at least be that smart, right? Just to get up and sing our song to the Lord and look for the goodness of God and look for provisions. And I see that at the other day we were walking at the track, and I saw a robin had a little worm in his mouth headed up into the tree to enjoy his dinner. You know, just he believes that God has provisions around him, and he's looking. So Jesus says, observe the birds. He said, your Father, feeds them, are you not more valuable than they? Maybe that's the loving yourself part. You know, love your neighbor, love God, and love yourself. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Or some of them says can add an hour to your life. And I think worry can definitely take an hour or two off because of what it does to our body physically. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon, all of his glory, was arrayed like one of these. On my back porch I have a little patio set Jana bought, and a little cart that you push around, you know, to serve your drinks and things on. And so I bought some flowers at the first of the year, and they were the kind that doesn't like direct sun. That's kind of Christians like we are, you know. Some of you like direct sun, and you're in the presence of Jesus all the time, and some of you kind of like, I don't like direct sun, you know. I like to talk to him when I need to. But these were beautiful, vibrant flowers. I mean, just red, bright yellow and bright red, and I love the colors, and so I bought those and put out. And the storm came by one night, and these little things, they have thick stems, but they were just mangled, you know, the next morning after the wind, and they couldn't take the stress of the wind, and so they were all mangled. And they never did quite recover from that. And I don't know what I did wrong, maybe old water, underwater, I don't know what I did, but I tried to keep them, you know, feed them, and finally they just kept wilting down and went to nothing, and I threw them away the other day, and I bought some more. Different kind. Thought, you know, I don't want none of those sissy flowers. They can't take stress. Stress just kills them. And so I bought some more, and they were thinner stems, but they were still a pink and a red. Just, I like vibrant colors. You can come over and look at my flower beds, and you'll see that. But I like the vibrant colors. And so yesterday we were sitting there eating lunch with Jan and Addie, and I looked outside, and it looked like some of them took a bat or something and hit the flowers, and they just departed, you know, departed. And I thought, wow, has Addie been outside? Because I could see the stress on, and then I just bought them a few days ago, and man, they were just, you know, looked so healthy. And so Jenna said, have you watered them today? And I said, no, but, you know, a couple of days or so ago I did. And so I walked out, and I looked at them, and they just, you know, just looked terrible. Like, we're dying. It's bad. And so I got my water thing, and I put it full of cool water, and I went over and gave them a good shower, and I went over to the other and gave it a good shower, and in 2 or 3 hours, they were like, it's the strangest thing. I didn't know flowers could, you know, regress and retract that quickly, but they were just, I mean, it was amazing. And I told Jan, I said, did you see the flowers? She said, I noticed that. Well, you know what? They needed something. They were under stress. They were under the heat, and they needed something to drink, something to get in. That's a part of what the birds know. And what we need to know is, you know what? God knows where you are. And He tells us, don't worry, because it doesn't add anything. But stress, remember last week we talked about good stress, bad stress. Good stress says you need something. You need to accomplish something. You get something done. You need to add something to. And it's something that's going to build you up and help you. And thank God for good stress. For good stress. So do not worry about your clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But they need something. They need the nutrients that God said. They need water. And you know what? You and I need things. We need the blessings of God. We need the Word of God to refresh us. The songs that we sing this morning. I love when we get refreshed with singing and praise together. It's a refreshing time. We need that. You need to come to church. That's the fourth commandment. How many knows it's not a fourth request? It's a fourth commandment to come to church and to serve the Lord. And it's for your benefit. It's not for God's benefit. It's for your benefit and my benefit to come to the house of the Lord and serve Him. For what it does for us. For what we receive from it. If I'm gone sometime, and like we went on vacation a week or so ago and missed a Sunday or Wednesday, it's like, man, it's been a long time since I've been in the house of God, you know. And we had church on with TV with John Hagee, but it just wasn't the same as being here and doing it live with you all. Verse 30, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And so God says stress and worry comes from a lack of faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. How many knows, ladies, that God knows about all your makeup needs? He knows. He knows. Does He care? I don't know. He cares because you care. And so He knows. The other night was on my bike and we went by the store and Jenna said, I need some kind of, I forget what she called it, something she puts on her face at night and it's in a liquid in a bottle and she said, I need that stuff. And so we went by and bought her some bottles of that stuff and a guy was at the store and he said, boy, you guys are serious bikers, aren't you? Come grocery shopping on a motorcycle. I said, well, I'm thinking, you don't understand. This is what blesses her. This is what she needs, and God cares about what she needs. Even stuff to, I don't know if it's to take on or put off or whatever. This stuff did, but it was something she needed. And God says, I know about all your needs. You know, sometimes you think because us men don't know, God doesn't know about your facial needs and your all the needs you have. He knows and what you need, and He cares. But He said all this, and He said, you know what? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, everybody say all these things. All these things. Whether it's makeup or, you know, guys getting to go golfing or whatever it is, you know. Let me tell you this before I go on. Talk about stress reliever. I shot a round last week, my first nine holes, 37 legitimate. Now, you see, you that don't golf, you don't care. It's like, so what? What's that got to do with sermon? Well, it took a lot of stress off me. God doesn't care about golf, but He loves me. And I thought, I can't believe I'm shooting this well. A young man was golfing along with me, and his dad was supposed to be there. He said, I'll golf a couple of holes. Well, he went nine rounds with me. He thought I was a good golfer. We putted everything out. I mean, it's a legitimate 37. I was so thrilled, so pumped. Took my card home, laid it on the table. So look at that right there, woman. Look at that. But you know what? I've been seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. I've been saturated in the Word. Right now I'm doing three devotionals that I need to do. One's for church, one for school, one's for my personal use. But they're all three devotionals. I'm just saturated in the Word of God. I thought, I've been seeking God and the kingdom first, putting in extra time, and it makes my golf better. So watch it, guys. I'm going to stay saturated, and I'm going to beat you when I come. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what will be added to you? All these things. So what do you get excited about doing, you know? That's just the play thing, I know. But what do you get excited? He's concerned about all those things. What excites you? Get in the Word and saturate yourself in the Word and seek the kingdom of God first. And He says, that excites me as well. All things. Verse 34, do not worry about your tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And, you know, life just has a way of putting us out in tomorrow, doesn't it? You saw these signs, and I don't know if you could read them over here, but one of them said, like, electric cut off, and all these signs, and we should have probably had them up on the camera of the big screen or something, but just everyday life things is stressing you out, you know. Everyday living things. And He said, all those things. So don't worry about tomorrow. Remember last week we talked about the what ifs. And then three times, I don't want to read this again because three times, verse 25, do not worry. Verse 31, do not worry. Verse 34, do not worry. That's what He said three times in this passage, do not worry. Now here's what I know. God would never tell you to do something that you weren't able to do. Stress is a choice, isn't it? Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. And it doesn't help. If it helped to worry, you could worry and it would be great. But worrying doesn't help. It always subtracts and take away. So just remember that. How about the scripture? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Yeah. Sam was talking about, or Cliff was reading, and saw it said, anything that you've gone through, somebody else has gone through. Corinthians teaches that everything that's come upon you is common to man. You ever feel special in your trials? Boy, you've never been through anything like this. Somebody has. Somebody has. And let me give you something else. Take that trial and that test that you've gone through and help somebody else that's going through it somewhere down on your journey. And that's called getting better and helping people live through it and edifying and taking your troubles and making a builder out of it. Building yourself up instead of stressing out. Stress is not about what happens to you, but it's all about what how you view what happens to you. See? It's a choice. Let me read you something. Psalms 23, out of the Living Bible. I've heard read where some scholars believe, and it's probably true, that David wrote the 23rd Psalm whenever Saul was after him, maybe when he was in the cave, you know, hiding from Saul. And I thought, here, boy, you talk about change of heart and mind. Just think if somebody's after you and they're out to kill you and they've got the manpower to do it. They've got soldiers, they've got chariots, they've got all the swords and spears. They've got everything they need to take you out. You and your little group of men. David has a bunch of renegades, you know, that he's formed together, but these are trained warriors and men that Saul has, and probably the best of the best because they're with the king. And this is what David writes, and I'm reading from the Living Bible because I love the way it says it. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Now, he's not sitting on a throne. He's sitting in a cave hiding from Saul. He lets me rest in the meadow's grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He'd probably been out that morning and to maybe laid down in the meadow grass and it's thick and lush and he saw the quiet stream out there. He's like the bird, isn't he? He's looking to see what God's provided in the midst of a time when Saul is after him and the shadow of death is upon him. And he's looking at the goodness of God. Do you know we can choose to look at the goodness of God in stressful times? We don't normally do it because it's not a habit. How many knows you can change your old habits? Oh, you look like a society this morning. Come on, smile at me. Just nod or something. Yeah. You can change old habits from stressful, being stressful. It says, He gives me new strength. How many knows you need new strength when you're under stress? You need new strength. He can give me new strength. He helps me do what honors Him most. How many times you can do what honors God most whenever we're under stress? Even when we're walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. He feels the presence and the closeness of God. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. How many knows God has some delicious stuff for you? Even in your stressful times, if you're looking for it, if I'm looking for it. You have welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow. This is when he's being hunted down like some kind of an animal. Blessings overflow. He's about to preach himself happy. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all the days of my life, and afterwards I will live for you, live with you forever in your home. I got it made here. Now, the thing I love about David is he's not hiding himself. He's not in denial. He talks about his enemies and he talks about death. So he knows how close it is. He knows that, you know, there's a death warrant for his arrest and for his life. And so he knows that, but he's saying, I am focused on what God is able of doing. Man, with man, there's limitations. With God, there is no limitations. With God, all things are possible. It's a choice. It's absolutely a choice. Now, the good stress and the bad stress, remember we talked about last week, compels you to action. And I think good stress is probably what the Holy Spirit does for you and me. You know, get those finals done, girls. Get them done. Come on. You know, get those bills paid. Keep them up. Keep them ahead. You know, doesn't it feel good when you're ahead on your bills? That's what I like about Mark, you know, him, our treasurer. He always keeps the bills ahead instead of behind. That way we know we're broke early. Yeah. Bad stress is worrying about things that you have no control over. You know, we talked about the economy. You don't have control over the economy. But you do have control over being a good steward of the resources God gave you. See? Now, that's good stress because your employment, you don't have any. You know, there's companies cutting all the time. Good companies. GM is cutting how many employees now? Remember? cutting a bunch of employees, different strong companies cutting back because they're trying to survive. And so you never know. You know, you're in a union, doesn't make any difference. You have no control over being employed or not. You say, well, I'm the CEO, I'm the boss, I'm the owner of the company. Well, you still, if you don't produce, how many knows your bills won't get paid? And there's some things you don't have control over. But to be the best employee you could ever be, or that company could ever have, and that could be your goal, that's something that good stress could do for you. To say, I don't know about my company, but I know what I'm going to be, and I'm going to be the best employee they ever had. I'm not going to get caught up in what somebody else doesn't do. Bad stress is when you get caught up in what somebody else in your company's not doing, and you have to take up the slack. Can you believe it? That's bad stress because you don't have any control over them unless you're the boss and you can fire them. You could kill them and ask for grace later, but that's not really godly. You know, it's not really a godly thing to do. Relationships, you stress. Sometimes we stress over relationships. And how many knows there's two in every relationship, and I cannot control and you cannot control how somebody else acts or reacts to you in a relationship, but I can control and you can control how you react. That's good stress. See, some people, and some Christians never learn that I don't have to respond to you the way you respond to me. And they're still in the mode of, well, if you treat me nice, I'll treat you nice. But if you want to see mean, I can show you mean. Just treat me mean. See, they think, and that's bad stress, isn't it? That's the Old Testament. That's under the law. And when you're under the law, you reap the law, and it's a bad situation you get caught up in. If you want to be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You want to be mean, I'll be mean. And let me give you, this is good stress. Only I can control how I respond to you, regardless of how you've treated me. Only you can respond and are accountable for how you respond to me, even if I've mistreated you. That's good stress. Good stress says, love your enemies. Pray for them, bless them. That's good stress. Because it teaches you to be something that you're not. Something that we're not, it's not a natural flow inside of us. Old saying says, don't tell God how big your problems are, but tell your problem how big your God is. See, that's the good stress. That's what David's doing. He said, I know I've got enemies after me. I know that I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. I know all that, but here, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you about what I know about my God. And he's so focused on God. Now, let me give you a couple methods here for stressing less. And first of all, answer the question quickly. You know, when you're stressing out, say, is it good stress? Is it bad stress? Is it something that I can do something about? Or is it totally out of my... You know, if we're worrying about next week and having a cutoff notice or something, how many knows that's really... You might as well not stress. That cutoff notice is coming, so you don't stress about that. What you do is focus on what you can do to get it right, to keep it in order. So is it good stress? Is it bad stress? Is this something that's going to elevate me and help me and bless my family or not? I mean, that's simple, isn't it? But we don't determine that so many times. We just, it's there, and so we focus. And it's a really simple thing. Just, is it good stress? Is it bad stress? And then, write this down. Respond to good stress early. Or quickly. However you want to put it. Respond to good stress early or quickly. You know, the students are a good example. You know, when you got a final coming and you just put it off to the last minute, boy, doesn't the stress level go up? That's good stress. But man, when they were those finals and they're right on you and you think, oh my gosh. The same way with whatever it is in life. Respond to good stress early. Good stress, I believe, is a prompting of the Holy Spirit saying, this is going to be good for you. And if we respond early, he gives us time to work all that out. Right now I have a 21-day devotional I'm doing for my master's degree, and so I started early. I've started early. I don't have a class till September 12th or something, but I started early. And then when I get up there, and I know you always get to class and you always see grown people. Most people in master's class is 30 and above that I'll be with, and you always see them, did you get your homework done? Yeah, I got my homework. Did you get yours done? No. You know. You just see that. And that's good stress, isn't it? But good stress has just turned bad because we ignore good stress. I guarantee you, if you'll respond to good stress early, it'll be good stress. It'll remain good stress. Are you with me? Let me give you a couple of scenarios. How many of you just have a garage that really needs to be attended to? How many believe God gave you a garage to just dump your stuff in? Yeah. How many of you, if the health department came and saw your garage, they would shut your house down? And so you feel a stressor about it. You're like, man, I need to clean that garage out, you know? How many felt the stress about it? You know, as you're walking through the house and kicking things out your way, you know, you felt the stress. And you know it would be a good deal, it would be refreshing if you got it done. But a week goes by, a month goes by, 6 months goes by, and it just you know, more clutter, more stuff, more whatever. Here's some good stress. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, bless your hearts. But how many of you, you know, you got credit cards and you say you can handle them, but you got debt on the credit card. See, you can't handle them. If you got debt on your credit cards, you're in denial. Because you're paying unnecessary interest on stuff that you wanted to enjoy early that you didn't need. Most of the time. And then maybe you got yourself in such a bad financial situation that you really did need to use a credit card for a legitimate need. You're even worse shape. And so good stress says you need to pay those things off. Good stress says you need to pay those things off. And you know in your mind's that would be a great thing to do, pay those things off. You know that. So that's good stress. Get you out of a debt for a credit card and you quit paying that high interest. And then some of you say, oh, but I got a good interest. So? What's your point? What if you were drawing interest instead of paying interest? See? I bought a house, piece of property from an old fellow down here, Bert Bloomfield. He said, I don't pay interest, I draw interest. And he did. A lot of interest. He's a shrewd businessman. Now, but here's what happens. If we have the garage that we need to get clean, and we have the credit cards we need to get under control, and we don't do anything, we don't take any measures, that good stress becomes bad stress now because it, we know we need to get it done, and it lingers. And so here we're facing all the other bad stressors in our life, and now our good stress has turned to bad stress, and how many knows, we are in trouble. Our mind's like this because we won't even take a step toward good stress. Respond to good stress early. Now, let me give you this. For some of you that says, you don't know my situation, it's overwhelming. My garage is just stacked up to here, or my credit card bills are, you know, for these two scenarios, there's a lot of others I could have used, but these are something that we can relate to easily. And so, here's what I want you to do. I want you to respond early, even if you do a small step. Do something. Do something that will relieve part of the tension. Say your garage, for all you that raise your hand, your garage is just stacked up and you say, man, that's going to take a week to clean that baby out. So what about one Saturday morning? How about this Saturday morning? So you got to put it down or you won't do it. You won't respond to good stress. Just put it down on your calendar and say, this Saturday morning at 10 or whatever your time that you could have. I'm a Saturday, work all day. Say, well, how about after work, you come in and rest a couple hours. And then you say, this Saturday at 7 o'clock, I'm going to take 1 hour. And I'm going to work feverishly for 1 hour to clean my garage. Notify your family. If you want something that's left from the garage, you better get out and put your mark on it. You know, just something. And then Saturday comes, 7 o'clock, and you work, you're tired, but you come home and you rest a little while, and for 1 hour, you just get in there and you start lifting stress off of you. You just start lifting. And then how about for the credit cards? What if you can't pay them all off because they're huge, but you say, you know what, I can do something. Listen, for some of you, it might be, I could get a part-time job. I could do a little something on the side, and everything I make from that, because I can make my bills, and I'll put everything I make from this little side job, I'll put it on my credit card. That's responding to good stress. See? Is it easy? No, remember I said good stress is not pleasant, but it's helpful, isn't it? It's like medicine. when they give you a shot. My doctor said to me this year, he said, have you had your, is it colonoscopy? Is that the way you say it? Have you had that? You know, you're over 50. Asked me that last year, and I looked at him, and he's my same age. I said, no, I haven't, Doc. Have you had yours yet? You know what he told me? No, not yet. I said, well, then I'm not worried about it. This year he asked me, he said, so Jack, have you had your colonoscopy yet? And I said, no, have you? He said, yes. I thought, ow. Man. I'm already feeling the good stress, you know? Oh. I said, is it painful? That's what all men want to know first, right? Is it painful? I mean, we don't care, you know, is it painful? How much it costs, you know, the pain. We're in pain. And so he said, no. He said, you know, my doctor, I'll refer you to my doctor, give you these pills. You take like, I don't know, 30 or something of them, and they clean you out. You know what I mean? And said they'll put you out when you get there, and you'll never know anything. Now I'm stressed again. Everybody shaking your head, no. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He meets all my needs according to his word. I'm never going to bring anything up to you guys again. Come on, I need encouragement. I need encouragement. He said that worst part is taking the pills, and he said she'll put you completely out and you won't feel a thing. That's what I believe. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. May God, to God be the glory. Yeah. Now, it's not story time now. What?
It is. When I came out about the third time I had a colonoscopy, I said, when are they going to get it done? And it was all over.
There you go. See, I'm going to be like Dorothy. High fives. When are they going to get it done? It's all going to be done in Jesus' name. For all of you that suffered, you know, there's probably sin in your life. You need to get right with God. Yeah. Not really. I'm teasing. So determine if it's bad stress, good, and respond early. Respond early. I guarantee that's. I know that sounds simple, but man, that's powerful. Respond early. If you need, if something, there's some good stress, something you're needing to get done, and that prompting is on you, just respond to it. Learn how to respond to that, and see what a load that takes off of you. It just does. Things are in order. It's the way that, and that's why God prompts us with these things. And number two, refuse to entertain bad stress. You know that you've got to learn. We've got to learn how to do that. That doesn't come natural, because a natural tendency is just to focus on it and ingrain it give it our attention and our time. But you know, refuse to entertain bad stress, and we can, just like the scripture that Cliff read about. You know, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. You know. That's a promise from God. David, he refused to focus on his enemies and his lack. And so he's talking about God providing. He's talking about green meadows. He's talking about quiet streams. He's talking about the goodness of God. And he doesn't stop there. Do you notice? He said, and when this is over, when this trial is over and this battle is over, because everything, how many knows everything on this earth is temporal? I don't care what you're going through right now. Someday it's got an end, because it's temporal. Everything on earth is temporal. I don't care if you got cancer, you got disease, you got debt up to your eyeballs. It doesn't matter. It's all temporal here, because someday we're going to be loosed through death. And then he says, and as Christians, we have a mansion waiting for us, tax-free, paid for by the blood of the Lamb. And he's just reminding himself, this is not it. If he kills me, I'm going home to live with you. So how bad is that? See? He's focused on what God has provided for him. Are you? Am I focused on what God has for me? And so he responds. Here's some of the things I put down for us. You could respond. I could respond. The Lord is my shepherd, you know. I belong to you. Because sometimes your problems will look at you, and if they're big, they'll say, I own you. You ever have a problem tell you that? I own you. Years ago, back in the 80s, the late 80s, I got behind on my taxes. And they kept accumulating and accumulating. And I was a young businessman, and I was trying, but boy, there was no work. And then God called me to start a church right in the midst of all that stuff. And I thought, wow, But I said, well, I was just like David. I just said, you know what? I'm going to do the best I can. I'll give what I can. And so, but finally, it went up where it was like 40, almost 40,000. Yeah, that's a lot of money, isn't it? But I just kept serving God and doing. And the only reason I share this is because maybe some of you have, you know, battling that. And so, but God worked it out for me. He sent people that helped me, and I hired this tax guy, and it was just a good experience really for me to say, you know what, if you're going to be in business, you need to do business right. And so I hadn't been behind on my taxes anymore. I got that cleared, and so that's, you know, they're going to get theirs. Grandpa and her play, who wasn't paying his taxes, said, well, you aren't paying taxes. Well, why should I? I don't like what they're doing with the money. You know, and I thought, boy, wouldn't all of us quit paying if that was the case? But that was one of my stressors. But you know what? I lived through it. And God showed me a way, and He'll show you a way. But you have to follow those promptings. And that was not an easy thing for me, but within a few years, I had it all taken care of, paid off, and went on with my life. And now the IRS is sending me money. Yeah. God is good. He provides regardless of the economy. See, this is what we can say. Regardless of the economy, I don't care. Because everything's going up. You look at the news every day. Everything's going up. Food's going up. Your paycheck is not keeping up. That's what they'll tell you when you watch the news. It's good news, isn't it? We just love the news, you know. It's just depressing, and we just eat it up. My wife is a news junkie. Let's turn on the news. Let's see what's happening. His goodness, say that His goodness and mercy is always with me. You know, this trial is temporary. All things on earth are temporary. This trial has limits. My God has no limits. Huh? That's what David's saying when he's talking all this stuff to himself and preaching to himself. And then say something like this: when this trial is over, by God's grace and power, I'll be standing and I'll be stronger than ever. In Jesus' name. This trial came to pass. It's just come to pass. It'll come and it'll pass, and I'm going to be stronger and better and faster and quicker, more like Jesus when I get through this. See the difference? See the difference? What are you doing in your trial and your test? Oh my God. What am I going to do? What's going to happen? You know, I'll begin to get your scripture and find it and stand on it, you know? And because here's what I know. When we pray and we seek the face of God, He always answers. I don't know if you had a good dad. Even if you had a great dad, he can't answer you like God can answer you. And He won't. Your dad didn't answer you like God will answer you. And if you had a bad dad, well, you know what? God is not a bad dad. He's a great dad. And He'll honor you and He'll bless you when you ask Him and you live according to His Word. It's a promise. David knew that. One of the things that we run into, though, is this. When we're stressed out and we're focused on the stress, even when God wants to give us a blessing and hand us something, it's hard for us to accept it because we can't see it. Because we have to have eyes of faith to see what God's wanting to bless us with. And when we're focused on our stressing issues, we get darkened eyes and blinded eyes because we're focused on doubt and fear and worry and not the promises and the blessings. You remember when Moses went into the Egypt and he said, I've come and God's going to deliver us. And boy, they all rallied around him and said they worshiped God, and all the leaders were excited. And then all of a sudden Pharaoh said, oh yeah, you got that much time on your hands? Well, go gather your own straw for the bricks, and we're not going to cut back any at all. Kind of like the economy today, you know. We want to cut back, and we're cutting back on manpower, but you're going to produce the same thing. And you all just stress out, you know. Oh, and God said, I'll give you new strength. I'll give you new help. I'll give you whatever you need. Huh? And so they come up and listen to what it says in Exodus 6:9. The people didn't believe Moses any longer. And the Bible said, because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. That's how they received. You're going to make your quota, and I'm not going to supply the straw. You're going to go get your own straw. This is their spirit. Man, it's just stressed out. And so they couldn't believe anymore. The promise hadn't changed. God's Word hadn't changed. He's still going to deliver them. But everything had changed in their mind's eye. It's all still coming. It wasn't based on their faith in the first place. It was based on God's promise. And so as Moses comes in, they're going to get delivered. That's the promise. And so they missed the promised land where God wanted to lead them because of doubt and stress and unbelief. But when God comes in with all these promises and He looks at me and you and He says, "This is for you." And we're so focused on our bondage and our stress and what we're going through that we say, "Oh, I don't know." You know what it reminded? You know what the children of Israel reminded me of? Drug addict. That's what they reminded me of. Some kind of a, you know, we've had drug addicts in our family, and you reach out to a drug addict to help them to bring them to health. Because you have some resources, you've got a home, you got some, you know, some help you can give to them, and they'll look at you and say, "Oh, I'm not doing drugs," and they're in denial a lot of times, and you can't help them until they come out. But then you reach out to them to help them, and all of a sudden they won't receive your help because, "Oh, you just don't know how bad it is and how addicted I am and how awful my life and what a mess I'm wrapped up in." That's what they reminded me of. They couldn't see the promise because of there's anguished spirit and cruel bondage, this extra work Pharaoh had put on them. They couldn't stand it. It reminded me of a drug addict that says, "I can't get out of this. You don't know how bad it is." And here God is trying to hand them the blessings of new life and freedom. Something they've been praying for a long time. And He sent them the leader and He sent them deliverance. And when he lays it out before them because they're so wrapped up in their situation, because it's tougher before it got better. How many know sometimes when God's delivering you, it'll get tougher before it gets better? You notice that? I've had people say, "I'm not praying no more, I'll tell you that. It's better than this before I started going to church, before I started praying." That's an old deception that Satan has. That's all. Because you keep sowing good seeds, and you sow good seeds the next day, and you sow good seeds the next day, and the Bible said this is a law in your life, good things will come up. It's a law. Satan, hell, and high water cannot stop the law of God. And you just keep planting good seeds today, and you plant good seeds tomorrow. My hairdresser, her husband had left and came back, and when he left, I said, "How do you want me to pray?" And he was really kind of a jerk, to be nicely about it. And she said, "I don't know if I could take him back or not, Jack." And I said, "Well, how do you want me to pray?" And she told me, and I said, "Okay." So I prayed the way she wanted me to pray, and then I prayed for him different on the side. I said, "Lord, reveal to him what he's given up for whatever he's seeking." And I prayed that consistently. You know, "God, reveal to him what he's given up. Reveal to him what he's given up. In the name of Jesus, break this bondage over him. Break this stronghold over him." And so he came back and she accepted him back. And you could see the glow in her face the other day when she cut my hair. And I told her how I was praying. I said, "You know, that's how I've been praying to God." She said, "You know what? A lot of people praying like that. Because, you know, I think they were made to be together." But that's what happens when we get stressed out. We can't see what we really have because of all the things that's laid out in front of us. Deception. Listen, if two or three or four people come up to you and say, "You know what, I think you better be careful about what you're doing. You know, it's time to take heed." Because God will tell Christians around us to help us. You ever had somebody do that to you? I have. You know, "You better, you know, be careful in this," or "You better watch this," or "God is revealing to me," or, you know. And so when you get more than one or two people, Christian people, saying that, it's like, uh-oh. I've focused on something that I want or something I'm trying to accomplish or something, and I better take heed because my loved ones around me is seeing something I'm not seeing. See? That's what stress will do to you, and that's what, like the greed sign you had a while ago, and pride and all that stuff, that's what it'll blind us and we can't see. That's what they were. They were totally blind. Here God coming. And can you imagine how that breaks God's heart? When he's anointed this man, he's got all this elaborate plan laid out to deliver the children of Israel. Can you imagine if we were the children of Israel and he come in to deliver us and we said, "Well, you know, it wasn't this tough. At least we didn't have to gather straw before that Moses guy come in with all this elaborate plan to deliver us." Can you imagine how that breaks God's heart? When he knows he has something so wonderful waiting on us over here, And we won't leave because it might be a little rough to high center from where we are to get off of that and to go on out and walk in the faith and blessings of God. Breaks his heart and it robs us of blessing. That's what stress does for us. That's why we should say, you know what? I reject stress in the name of Jesus. And thirdly, not only reject stress, but here's what we need to do. Trust God. You have to replace it. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to reject it. That's why it says, just don't do drugs. Well, that's good, isn't it? You know, but what are you going to replace it with? You know, give a replacement. Don't do drugs, do Jesus. You know, do something. You know, give something, because you have to replace it with something. And so trust God. Just when stress comes, this is our guide. David said who God was to him when stress came. He just began quoting who God was and what all he's going to do for him, what all he did for him, and what he's going to be for him. That's good stress, isn't it? Let's pray. And if you're here today and heads are bowed, and, I want to pray over somebody, but maybe today you'd say, you know what? I need to get my focus off my stressing situation and get it on God's promises. For you that are here that need that prayer today, which could be any of us tomorrow, but you know, right now today, you need that prayer. I'd like to pray over you. Is there any? We're going to raise your hands, okay? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Heavenly Father, for those that raise their hands today, this is a new day for them. Give them new strength. As David said, you give me new strength today. And I speak blessing over their life. I pray that their eyes of understanding would be opened and that the wisdom from the Holy Spirit would come and saturate them, and they'd begin to look at the goodness of God, just like the bird that's perched on the limb, looking around. And he's not just looking around to look. He's looking for the goodness of God, for the worm that will pop its head up out of the ground, for the breadcrumb that's on the floor, whatever it is that will feed him and nurture him, the seeds that God has planted on the vine. He's looking for the goodness of God. And so today, I ask you to give them that same kind of intense look. As they see the Scripture, they'll take it personal and they'll say, this is for me. This is a promise that God made to His children. I'm one of His children, and I accept this promise today, God. And you can do this promise to me. You can lay this promise on me today. I'll walk in the strength of this promise and just begin to pray it and quote it, and just like David did. God, you just give me a table in the midst of my enemies. You give me a table. You provide a delicious table in my lack. When my check's not enough, God will be there because I'm going to be a good steward. When the threat of death comes, I know that God is my life source, and that He'll all be on my life source here, but He'll be my life source for eternity. And I pray that You'll give them that kind of understanding and that kind of a new habit in their life of saying, when stress comes, I'm going to focus on the promises of God. I'm going to look for the goodness of God right in the midst of my stress and begin to bless them in that, God. I speak faith over them. Faith to receive and faith to see and faith to walk in a new dimension in their life in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Father, for turning their stress into joy, into blessing. In Jesus' name. And what Christians praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you've strayed from God, or you need Christ in your life, would you just repeat this simple little prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I've strayed from You. I need You in my life. Forgive me of all my sins. You died for me that my sins could be forgiven. And so today, Lord, I accept Your finished work. And today, Lord, I invite You in to be my Lord and Savior from now and forever. And I thank You, God, for cleansing me today of all my unrighteous deeds. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, would you just wave at me real quick and let me know that you prayed?